On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this Friday edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Weekend is upon us. You're happy. I'm miserable. Two long days of my poor darling wife, Agnes, getting no relief. Hey, honey, did you see that wet? Do you believe what they... No. And she looks at me and says, Bob, I'll be so happy when Monday gets here. We're all happy when Monday gets here. Fridays are a little bit different. So, it's your last chance for a couple of days. If you want to get your licks in, do it now, for heaven's sakes. Don't bottle it up over the weekend. That stuff can be bad for all kinds of things inside you. The phone number you just heard, I'll remind you, 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. And, of course, email comes to bob@headonradio.com. And you know what? That's as good. This is a great place to... I got an email today. I get scads of email every day. But I thought I had succeeded in running off the little right-wing weirdos. Hadn't had what Bart Kopp refers to as a monkey mail in a long, long, long time. And then, I admit I'm spoiled. I've gotten to the point where I see new email in the box and I open it, and it's usually someone that I'm just thrilled to death to hear from. Because, A, you share your finite time on this planet with us. And then you take time to drop us a note. That's humbling. That is truly humbling. And it's an honor. So I opened one today from some person calling himself Steven Patterson, with a truly bizarre Comcast.net email address. And it says, continue to name call, bend the truth, and have no alternative. At least someone has a plan and has the guts to follow through. Someday your head will explode from the hate you spew. Not everyone sees the world the way you do. If someone disagrees with you, your only answer is making fun of someone's looks, heritage, or what you seem to lack, .. intelligence. Good luck on getting it together. So, Stephen. Can I call you Stephen? Buddy, well, we're going to have a little fun with you tonight, pal. Because this, one, two, three, four, maybe a total of, three and three quarter lines worth of text. Hello. And yet, in that short space, this person betrays their allegiance to right-wing nuttery. The first, it's within the first 5 or 10, and you have no alternative. Isn't that what you always hear from the Flush Flemballs and the O'Reillys and the Hannity jobs out there? The Democrats don't have a plan. Only their leader has a plan. The Republicans are the only people who know how to plan.
We have a plan. We're just not going to tell you what it is.
Yeah, I don't know what plan he's talking about that they have over there in Wingnutville. Is it the plan from the Project for a New American Century? Is it the is it God's plan that we're always hearing about? You know, the one that requires people to live in misery and death and suffering and mayhem and hell and winds up with missiles landing on innocent families' houses in Iraq? That plan? I don't know, but, you know, they're more than happy to parrot these idiotic little catchphrases that they pick up over in Freeperville and they get from listening to right-wing hate radio. At least someone has a plan and has the guts to follow through. I have heard that so many times. And what a load of crap that is. That's the getting damp in your maiden forms about George Bush part of the wingnut the lexicon. Okay.
At least someone has a plan and has the guts to follow through.
Stephen, pal, because I know you are a right wingnut and you are as yellow as the center as the yolk of an egg, I know you won't call in and try to defend your position. Could I point out something? Having a plan and following through on it, if it's a terrible, terrible, bloodthirsty, awful, misery-inducing, America-hating, America-killing plan, is not being willing to follow through on it is not a good idea. Tell you what, I got a plan. I got me a shotgun here. And it's a double-barrel shotgun. It's a side-by-side Browning 12-gauge double-barrel shotgun. And I got a round in each barrel, and it's got number four shot in. And here's my plan. I'm going to unload it into my foot, one barrel at a time, at point with my foot right on the muzzle. You see, as long as Dear Leader says I got a plan, these poor, ignorant sheeple. Well, he's got a plan. Oh, okay, he has a plan. Well, America, it's all right then. How stupid are Republican Bushevics, Bushistas, Bush voters? How damn dumb are they? I tried. I went, you know, look, I started out in the Kumbaya crowd, and we'll pray for you. It didn't work. So, you know, I don't know what to do with them. Someday your head will explode from the hate. Hate? We've played it on this program where Glenn Beck talks about murdering Michael Moore and calls Cindy Sheehan a prostitute, and yet I'm the one who's filled with hate. But, you know, hate. How is it? The right wing has this really bizarre definition of hate. Anything that Ann Coulter says is not hate. I can't believe that I'm getting this email less than a week after Ann Coulter suggests poisoning a sitting member of the Supreme Court of the United States. I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm getting this email after Glenn Beck suggests murdering Michael Moore and calls Cindy Sheehan a prostitute. I cannot believe but they're still out there, you know, that 21, 22, 23 hardcore percent of Americans who, if George Bush was shown on videotape drowning kittens, would swear that he was conducting a baptismal service. But they're there. They're there. So, you know, if you've got some thoughts on our good friend Stephen Patterson, JSPBKL at Comcast.net, feel free. Let's talk about this. Can we save America with Stephen Patterson's still in it? And people who think like Stephen Patterson still in it? I don't know. I honestly don't know. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Of course, you know the phone number, 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. We'll have several phone calls here soon. One of them, I guarantee you, will not be Steven Patterson, because he's yellow. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The screen door slams, Mary's dress waves. Like a vision she dances across the porch as the radio plays. Roy Orbison singing for the lonely. Hey, that's me and I want you only. Don't turn me home again, I just can't face myself alone again. Don't run back inside, darling, you know just what I'm here for. So you're scared and you're thinking that maybe we ain't that young anymore. Show a little faith, there's magic in the night. You ain't a beauty, but hey, you're alright. Oh, and that's alright. You can hide your colors and study your pain. Because lovers' stories isn't around. Waste your summer.
John from 4th Estate Radio here. This week's show is so packed it sprouted a third head. Yes, that's right. This week's 4th Estate Radio is a whopping 3 fat hours and will never go back. To start with, we have 2 of the Greensboro 7 protesting the Bush regime this weekend during the State of the Union, and they were arrested, and you should stay tuned and listen in because you'll be shocked. Not only that, we will have Anthony Lowenstein coming in to talk to us about the impacts of Hamas being elected into power in Palestine. This guy's an expert on the field. He's an author, a blogger, and a columnist for the Sydney Morning Herald. You won't want to miss this, everybody. Get the streaming details at ForthEstateRadio.com. Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday night, for the next edition of 4th Estate Radio.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye, baby, by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary, Ryan, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Like the burning end of a midnight cigarette, she broke his heart. He spent his whole life trying to forget.
Welcome back.
So yeah, watched him drink his pain away.
I don't know. I'm going to have to get some sort of... I got to stop. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Coming up on 21 minutes. Yeah, first day with the rented lips. Coming up on 21 minutes after the hour. And we've got what's turning into a weekly Friday feature. Our good friend Andy is with us calling from Wales. Hey, Andy, you're Head On.
How's it going, man? You all right?
Doing good. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. You know that? What was that guy's name? Steven, something like that?
Yeah, Steven Patterson.
Yeah, no, that fellow's a bit odd. I mean, the plan. Wasn't the plan get Osama? What happened to that plan?
Well, that's not a plan they like to talk about anymore, Andy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess, you know... Along with the strict, I'm going to be a United plan that went along before that, wasn't
it? No, we're not talking about that plan anymore, either.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That plan's out the window.
I'm not up to speed.
That plan about where war is always the last option.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
We're not going to talk about that plan either.
Oh, all right. Yeah, okay. Let's
scrap that. Especially not after what TV4 in London did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good old Channel 4, you got to love them, man. They do some really, really, really great stuff, you know?
Well, I mean, it looks like they've pretty much nailed Bush and Tony this time, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Are they going to get put under the old Bailey for the Official Secrets Act over this or anything?
Well, yeah, the Official Secrets Act's a funny one, because you can only get prosecuted for leaking the information. You can't get prosecuted for publishing it.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. So the guy that leaked it is already under prosecution, but he's like, I don't care, I've leaked it, you know, I did the right thing. So
yeah, he's kind of all wrapped up in the Union Jack being a patriot, right?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Queen and country and all that, that's what it's supposed to be. But yeah, the Channel 4 guys have basically like taken that and everything else they can find and spent a fair amount of time putting together a really solid documentary, basically.
You know, if we lived in anything other than a dictatorship over here, Andy, we'd be charging George Bush with a crime.
Well, the thing is, Tony Blair can be charged with a crime, which is why I think he's going to try and hang on for as long as possible and hope some good resolution comes out of this. I think that's his only option, you know.
Because he can't dodge the Hague, can he?
No, not at all. I mean, basically, with the UN saying, no, we didn't endorse this war, that's it. End of argument. He's a war criminal.
Oh, I like that idea so much. I have this metal image. What's the nastiest prison in the United Kingdom, Andy?
Oh, there's a couple.
Do they have any big piles of big rocks that Tony can spend the rest of his life making into little rocks?
No, the unfortunate other side of that human rights equation that gets him means we're not allowed to have people smashing rocks up. No, I mean, if I had my way, they'd be smashing them up, gluing them back together, and then smashing them up again.
Positively Sisyphean.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I love that whole the Victorian idea of where you go into a room and turn a crank, and every 10 minutes they come in and make it just a little bit more difficult. And that's all you do, and the crank just counts. And then every day you see that.
That would work. That would work for Tony. I can't imagine it. You know, and I'm anti-death penalty. I'm a liberal.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. I don't believe in killing people except in really extreme cases, you know.
Right, and Iraq wasn't one of those extreme cases.
Well, no, I mean the whole ironic thing about Iraq was it was all about euros. You know, I mean people need to learn that it's not about Saddam. It's not about whoever the hell's in charge of Iran. I can't remember how to pronounce his name. George Bush probably doesn't even know his name.
Wait, Andy, I can do that. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
I get a cookie.
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Yeah, right, cool. I'll try and remember that one. But yeah, well, slightly irrelevant because George is going to invade in March.
Yeah, he's going to kill him anyway, I mean.
Yeah. It's all about euros and dollars and...
Well, right, because Iran's going to open up, what do they call it, a bourse?
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to do it in euros. And George can't tolerate that because the minute that happens, then suddenly, United States Treasury bills are a lot less attractive than they have been, and China calls in all its bad papers, and George is screwed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, what happens when Euro calls it in? Europe still still owns more American debt than China. And
well, that's
Japan,
true, too.
So,
yeah, the UK.
Yeah, right. I mean, the UK and Germany, I think, are the top two on holding your debt. And, you know, if we started trading in euros, well, I mean, the pound's quite strong against the euro, so we do quite well out of that. But you guys don't do very well at all, do you?
No, not so much.
No.
We're going down a road we don't want to go down, Andy. You know what I mean?
Well, hell yeah. I mean, you're looking at 2 to 3 years, man, seriously. I mean, I'm no economics expert, but, you know, I know the basics of economics, and America's literally got 2 to 3 years to get things sorted. Well, I mean, first of all, those tax cuts have to come back. You have to get the money back, and then you have to add a load more taxes to those rich people and rich corporations, and then you may just about scrape through with a bit of a recession, you know?
Well, you know, this. I don't know if there's any possible upside to any of this kind of thing, Andy. Historically speaking, after the incredible excesses of the Republican administrations in the 1920s, we got Democrats who came in and fixed it.
Yeah.
And
well,
after
we can hope.
And after the horrific excesses of Ronald Reagan and 4 years of Daddy Bush, we had a Democrat who came in and fixed it, sort of.
Theoretical Democrat.
Yeah, right. Well, but, you know, no matter how you slice it, Andy, he left George Bush with this great big whopping surplus.
Well, what was it? If George Bush hadn't done anything at all, just sat in the White House or in Crawford, Texas.
Yeah, played his Game Boy.
Trillion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't be having any Social Security debates.
I can't believe there is even a debate. I mean,
neither can I. We were set to had George Bush just not screwed with anything. We would have been in a position to solidify our social safety net for the next 100 years.
Yeah, easy. Well, do you know what the worst thing is? It's not that these people are evil. It's that they're stupid and evil.
Yeah, evil.
I was running things and I wanted to be nasty, what I'd do is I'd make sure that everybody had a nice. Nice, easy, not too hard job, and they got a good wage, and they were comfortable, and then they wouldn't notice the huge amounts of money I was stealing. Yeah?
Well, yeah, that's right, man.
You know, you say to some Joe in the street, that guy's nicking loads of money, and they go, but I'm sorted. I've got a pension. I've got a nice house, nice family, nice car, garden.
Well, but see, that's part of the thing, I think, and man, what a great point. That's part of what's got America in its grips is there is a chunk of America that thinks that it is just rolling along, living in the tall cotton, you know, all four hooves in the trough, and no need to look around at, you know, Ford dropping, you know, a third of its workforce in the next couple of years. You know,
well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, it's that whole, like, the elite should be saved because they make the jobs argument. I mean, come on, Paris Hilton? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Britney Spears. Okay, come on. They're the elite, aren't they? No thanks. Can I have someone else?
Well, exactly, and well, that's part of the America. That's partly because American culture is completely bumfuzzled. You know, we pay football players, and you know, you guys are a little bit guilty of this.
Oh no, we're worse. Our soccer players get much more than your football players do. Make believe.
Yeah, we pay our athletes more than we pay our rocket scientists.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, you know, we just have an insane attitude towards everything. I mean, people go on about, you know, oh, but these guys, they're megastars and all this sort of nonsense. Yeah, okay, fine. But what about that guy that takes my bins away?
I value that guy.
But why is he paid 18 grand a year? Why is a nurse paid 18 grand a year here? You know, I want them to be paid, enough to support their entire family and a partner on. So
right.
One person has to work.
Yeah, and the other one can stay home with the kids and do a good job and educate them in the home and do all that stuff that the education system wants
us to do.
Absolutely.
Because I was lucky enough to grow up in a fairly, you know, my dad was a civil servant. He worked for the Foreign Office, so we were fairly well off. I mean, we weren't rich or anything. But I had the advantage of my mum being there for the first sort of 8 to 10 years of my life before she went off and started working again. So, and that helped me no end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not always going to be possible for everybody, but we should make it as possible, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, sure. Teachers.
Yeah.
Cops. I mean,
my sister's a teacher. She's incredibly poor.
And that's the way we like it, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't fathom it. You know, we take, I mean, with our law enforcement over here, and I'm not talking about, you know, your FBI, those guys, they make nice money. But we, you know, your city cops, your little town cops here, you know, we give a kid who just got out of high school a gun, a badge, a souped-up car, and a uniform, and pay him $15,000, $16,000 a year and expect him to mete out justice.
Yeah, I know. I mean, our police officers are relatively well-paid here. That's one thing that's not too bad. But, I mean, even then, they still do ridiculous hours and stuff, but... Yeah, we have a totally distorted set of priorities. I mean, you know, I want brain surgeons to be paid a lot of money, but how often do I need a brain surgeon? I need a binman more often. So, you know, and as for footballers and pop stars and this whole cult of non-celebrities being celebrities, I don't know how reality TV is for you guys, but
yeah,
we have, like, just, you know, let's make a celebrity TV.
I know.
You guys understand at all is what I scream regularly at the TV, you know?
It's enough to make you crazy, Andy. You know, you mentioned Paris Hilton. Why is this girl famous? I mean, as a guy, I can say, you know, she's not even that hot.
No, she's not.
You know, America, the entire United States of America and some parts of the world knew that that woman lost her dog. And yet couldn't, and yet, you know, Brownie didn't realize that New Orleans was drowning.
Yeah. It's just insane, isn't it? I mean, that guy comes from the same group. He hangs around at fancy dudes sipping champagne and laughing at, well, probably quite racist jokes. And what do they do when they need to do something? They stand about going, isn't there a plan? Isn't somebody supposed to have made a plan? And you go,
oh, yeah. That's another one of those plans we can't talk about, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I saw a documentary on that the other day, actually, on BBC. I don't know if you guys get that at all over where you are.
No, unfortunately, our cable system consists of two dented tomato cans and a string.
Oh, dear. I saw this sort of documentary, and basically it was whether or not it's going to be viable for rebuilding there, you know, the actual truth of the matter. And the best option, apparently, is leave most of the poor places as parkland so that when it happens again, that bit floods instead of the rest of the city. So it's going to be maybe 50% of New Orleans can actually be rebuilt, and that's a really optimistic plan, the best plan, according to some planner.
Right, and we can't even get the federal government to build what are referred to as Class 5 levees. In other words, levees sufficient to withhold a Class 5 storm like Katrina. Because, the levees they had in New Orleans were Class 3 levees.
No, they weren't. They weren't even capable of withstanding Class 1.
Yeah.
Because they were built on a really soft clay.
Right.
And they just slipped away. I mean, you know, I'm a bit of a gardener, so I know kind of soil things. And, yeah, you don't put stuff on wet clays if you don't want it to move.
Right, because it's kind of slick.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
And, you know, it's just terrible how science intrudes on these poor morons' plans.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. I mean, it's like somebody goes, I've got a really great idea. Let's do this. And somebody else goes, no, let's take that very small, limited containment of water idea and let's spread it across hundreds of miles and hope that nothing bad ever happens.
Yeah, that's what you get with a faith-based government. You know, you screw up and then you pray.
Yeah, right. And have that crazy reverend, whatever his name is, tell everybody that it's their fault.
Yeah, but... The thing is, though, Andy, you know, at least with the crazy reverends over here, we haven't had anybody throwing grenades in offices yet, although that's not out of the realm of possibility. I'm very disturbed about this business about these cartoons.
Oh, yeah, isn't it insane? I mean, look, I can see the point, right, of people who are upset about the cartoons, but I can also see the point that if the cartoon is saying, like, that your religion, essentially one of the cartoons is saying your religion tends to respond to criticism with violence, and then the pictures today were a load of people in London outside the Danish embassy holding placards up, wearing veils and Muslim dress, saying, butcher those who, taunt the prophet and behead those who mock Allah. And it's like, the cartoons are kind of right.
They need a PR guy. You know, welcome to Western civilization.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the vast majority of Muslims I know have a second or third generation. You know, they've been here a while. Like their parents came over in the 60s or earlier.
Yeah.
And they don't give a damn. You know, they're like, well, I don't read papers that I think are going to offend me. And if I see something that offends me, I just carry on. It's, it's between them and God. It's not between me and God, you know? And
but,
that's the kind of attitude.
Yeah, but there's so, Andy, there's so much of a, last night I absolutely almost busted a vein about this business of our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, you know, our number one general.
Yeah.
You know, he's got time on our, you know, on our clock, on our money. He's got time to write a letter to the editor about an editorial cartoon written, drawn by Tom Tulls. And
yeah.
And so today, I don't know if you realize it or not, but today our State Department came out on the side of the Muslim rioters.
Yeah, yeah, I heard.
And they kind of had to do that because if we've got an insane general who cares more about cartoons than he does about body armor for our troops, it's hard for the State Department to come out and condemn people for, you know, having a fit over a drawing of Muhammad.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, I don't know, everyone goes on about Karl Rove being a brain, and if he is, then how does it all go so badly wrong?
Every time.
Every time. I mean, not just every time, it's like, even at times where it really shouldn't go wrong, things go wrong, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
well, like, yeah, he is the perfect mixture of his time and his abilities. He could not do this with an informed, intelligent electorate.
No, absolutely not, no. Yeah, I mean, that's just so true, isn't it?
Carl.
I mean, I despair, because, I mean, I don't see much of the American media. I see sort of clips from Crooks and Liars, and I occasionally sort of see stuff at friends' houses who've got satellite. But, you know, phone news is ridiculous. CNN, what's that guy's name? Evil Nazi fascist guy.
Bill Bennett?
No. Oh, well, yeah, he's bad enough. No. One of the main dudes talks to Jack Cafferty, and Jack Cafferty.
Oh, Wolf! Oh, Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah, he's insane. That guy's absolutely. I mean, if you're on TV and you're pretending to be mainstream media, your bosses are paying you to pretend to be mainstream media. And again, this is the evil and stupid thing. what you should do is you should pretend to be balanced and very subtly pitch a right wing thing, or at least just ignore. Don't pitch a right wing thing. Just ignore the left wing thing. But no, he doesn't. He blatantly comes out on the side of right-wingers and then gets, well, I don't want to say the word, slapped into his position by whoever it is, and if there's nobody else on, then Jack Cafferty does it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's pity us. You get to see it in snippets and blinks. We get inundated with it.
Yeah, but there's a certain, like, tranquility in ignorance, isn't there? Because I sit here on the other side of the Atlantic going, I can't scream because I'll wake people up. It's like gone midnight here. You know, I literally, my girlfriend, like, looks at me scared sometimes the way I explode at the TV with stories. I mean, it's like the story of those women soldiers.
Oh, my.
Because they were scared of being raped by their fellow soldiers.
Well, and the best part of that story was the response of General Ricardo Sanchez.
Oh, wasn't that It Comes With the Territory or something like that?
Yeah, well, they wanted to be in the military. They get comes with the turf.
Rape comes with the turf. Why don't somebody think put him in front of a tank and shoot him with it? That comes with the turf.
Right. You know, court-martials for idiotic generals come with the turf. But it ain't gonna happen.
I mean, I can't comprehend how, like, I mean, just rape. You know, rape is something that shouldn't happen in modern armies.
And beyond that, Andy, for God's sakes, these women are in the middle of the Arabian, the Mesopotamian desert. They are so afraid of being raped on the way to the portable toilets that they stop consuming water early in the day so that they won't have to go after lights out,
and they
die of dehydration.
Yeah, and they know the risk because they're fully aware of it, and they're willing to die, and that's the point. Women should not be raped.
Right, and let's bear in mind this isn't some band of militant Iraqis out there waiting to rape our female soldiers. These are their brothers in arms.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
It takes your breath away.
Oh, you know, I want to bust some skulls, man. I want to find out who it was that was going to rape them, and I'll take his M60 or M16 off him and slap him to death at the other end of it.
Right.
I mean, I'm generally a pacifist. Okay?
I'm on the same ground you are, Andy.
But my blood boils. I mean, you know, I'm never going to meet these women or their families, but it doesn't make any difference. They're human beings, man. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
they don't get.
I talk about wanting my Louisville slugger. You want a cricket bat.
I've got a Louisville Slugger, mate.
Oh, well, okay, you're
one
set.
One of those aluminium ones. The really, really heavy, like, steel aluminium mixed ones. Yeah. No, that's very, very interesting. I've also got a set of swords because I do martial arts and stuff. So.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I'm kitted up for when the day comes, you know, but...
If they'll just get rid of the guns.
Well, yeah. Andy, well, we don't have too many here, but yeah, no, yeah. You got to get on, man.
Yeah, I got to roll on, but always so good to hear from you. I've come to really look forward to our Friday night chats.
Well, I'll speak to you again next week, man. No worries.
All right, take care.
Cool, you too. Love to Agnes.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Agnes says later. Yeah, that whole, oh, good God, I haven't even touched it. I lost my mind last night over an editorial cartoon flap. The business with the raping and death by dehydration of our soldiers. You know the story, right? Agnes, did you run across this one?
Yes.
It's out now. And, you know, again, this is what happens when a screw-up runs your country.
See, he doesn't have a plan. He's just saying that George Bush is screwing up.
Look, here's the deal. We'll do it like we always have. You incompetent fools and idiots in the right wing, get the hell out of the way, and we'll fix it like we always do. There's no need for us to say, yeah, well, we've got a plan, and here it is. No, no, you don't get it. You don't get to screw it up like you have screwed up everything you have set your filthy hands to. Right-wing monsters! They started a war in Iraq. They sent our female soldiers over there. They did not give them secure toilet facilities. We're talking about securing the country of Iraq, and we can't secure toilets! That's where it is. And our female soldiers, if they would drink after dark, would have to get up and go to the bathroom like human beings kinda do. And get raped on the way to the toilet. So therefore they decide they won't drink anymore after dark, so they won't have to go to the toilet. And then they die of dehydration, and General Sanchez tells the doctors to cover it up. Now, my friend Stephen, who says, I have no answers, I have no plan. I want to know his plan for stopping the dehydration deaths and the rapes of our female soldiers by our male soldiers in Iraq. I need a plan, Stephen!
Hey, Stephen, I have a plan for you. And I'm a female.
She really is.
And, well... It's not even up for debate.
No,
but,
it's not.
But if I have to go to the potty, and I don't care how big the guy is, I'm going to be carrying my M16.
And so is he.
And I'm going to shoot him first. I'm not going to ask questions. I'm just going to shoot him because I don't know what's on his mind.
And then you get executed.
And then you get executed. Gee whiz, we're turning Iraqi. Oh, no. They were a free country. Weren't they? The women were able to drive and
they could
and
go to the
things.
Bathroom by themselves.
But now they can't. So are we going native, folks? Hey, Stephen, I looked at the email. I wouldn't open it because I thought you were a worm.
Now, and this is not our friend Stephen in the UK either.
No, we love you, Stephen. This is a freeper.
This is a freak.
This is all he is, and he wants a plan.
Agnes, someday your head will explode from the hate you spew.
I don't hate anyone. I just like certain people well enough. And where I come from, when we say that, you better just, Katie, bar the door.
Oh, it's terrible.
Because you're not our favorite.
You know, she did the business with the sudden fade on the John Prine that I enjoy so much the other night. And I kind of complained with the little cough switch down, and she looked at me and said, I like you well enough. And I shut up. Okay? You know, not everyone sees the world the same way you do. No, everyone doesn't see the world the same way I do, or liberals do, or progressives do. Some people are Republicans. Some people are Bush voters. And they see the world as this sort of faith-based Tinkerbell place where if you only believe in it, it'll come true. We're going to have a democracy in Iraq. Believe, believe. Oh, Tinkerbell is fading. You must believe. You see, Let's go to our good friend Gene in Oregon. Hey, Gene, you're head on.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
Got any rubber bricks?
Huh?
Got any rubber bricks?
Working on them.
Good. couple of things. I'm going to do with the thing that I just caught with it, and I'm sorry if I'm going to steal your thunder just a little bit.
That's okay.
But I was popping over to, I popped over to Rossburg because I'm setting up a new computer, and I'm just checking out new sites and all that jazz. And apparently, Brother Phelps is at it again.
Oh, no.
They're going to protest the King funeral.
You know, there's got to be somewhere, there's an end to this somewhere, Gene.
Yeah. I know. It's, I'm not sure I like the end, but I, that kind of leads into the other thing you asked, whether or not we should stick around with these people in the same country?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah,
are we expected, you know, this emailer we got, am I expected to consider, does he expect me to consider Fred Phelps my fellow American? Because Fred Phelps doesn't see the world the same way I do either.
Oh, no. Well, what gets me is, of course, if you ask Fred Phelps, should he stay in, you know, if you ask Fred Phelps if he, we should stay, he'd say, hell no. Pardon my French.
I understand.
But, I mean, why are we supposed to sit here? And, I mean, I'm a Unitarian. I much prefer to be peaceful, but...
They make it awfully hard, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They make you work for your faith.
Oh, yeah. And I just kind of, you know, it's like, the other thing I think I tell you about that stupid hyperdrive thing, which I have no idea whether that's true or not. If it is, I want it. I want to go as far away from
I know.
Here, or send them as far away from here as I can get.
Yeah, whether it's a hyperdrive, you know, I'll settle for a time machine.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, it wouldn't be so bad to go back to Nixon's America.
Oh, no.
Because with this clown in the Oval Office, Gene, I am scared to death of the future.
Oh, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. So anyway, I met the point. It's like, because it's like, sort of like, well, he's not really following the Constitution anyway, so is this really America? I mean, it's like, I can kind of almost rationalize the idea of you know, secession, pardon,
yeah.
Agent Fred. But, you know, so I just, anyway, I'll shut up now and let you go. But
no, that's okay. No hurry. But no, you make great points. You know, how odd is it that no one has seriously said the word secession since the end of the war between the states, or what I was taught in second grade was the War of Northern Aggression. But you know, I grew up in Alabama. But now suddenly, you know, it's people. You know, you hear it. Let's secede.
Yeah.
You know, let's let all these red states, these supposed red states that suck away all of our well-being from the blue states, get out.
Yeah.
You know, okay, we just write a little letter to whoever the nearest living descendant is of Jefferson Davis and say, okay, we were wrong, you were right, goodbye.
Something. I mean, or I don't know. It just drives me crazy because it's like. You know that deep down in his heart, that's what Grover wants, Grover Norquist.
Oh, sure. Well, he wants chaos. He wants madness. He wants mayhem. These people, Grover Norquist wants literally the balkanization of the North American continent.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, oh, and it really appeals me just to think that, you know, I don't want to help this guy, but, you know, it's making it awful hard to just stay together.
Yeah. It's, I mean, what's that one great sticker that's out there that shows the W just like they had on the backs of their cars and it just says footprint of the American chicken hawk? These people that still have their W stickers, you know, I'm just glad sometimes driving along that they're not pulling off when I'm pulling off because I'd have to say something.
Yeah. Well, that's about really all I had to say.
That's okay. All right. Thanks, Gene.
Okay.
You have a great night and a great weekend.
Thank you.
Catch you Monday.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. I don't... I'm at a... You know, and these cars I talk about that still have the W stickers on them, nine times out of ten, they're 15 years old. They're held together by rust molecules. And they're driven by people who, if, well, I don't know. Are they too ignorant to explain, have explained to them what George Bush is doing? You know, to them. I don't know. I honest to God don't know. Email from our friend Joel. He says, this jerk says at least we have a plan. I ask, what plan might that be? Stay the course? Look at the course we've taken. I'd say that course is very much like a nosedive into an empty swimming pool. Great plan, Mr. Patterson. I only hope he's listening. Or listens. I got the idea he was listening to the rebroadcast on radiopower.org. So here's the great loss. He may not hear any of this. Because there's no set schedule for when this show runs on Saturday. This broadcast will run on Saturday at radiopower.org. I'm just not sure when. So, you know, I did send him an email back saying, oh, we're going to have fun with you, brother. But I read this thing, and like I said, I mostly chased off the weirdos. But, well, okay, we've got lurkers. Poor little things figured out how to find the Tom Hartman chat room. Yes, dear?
Boys, we know who you are. And quit being interested in boobies. Find a topic. Or go back and breastfeed some more. I don't know what you need, but try hard.
I understand. This is just amazing. Agnes, don't let this go into the recycle pile. This is a keeper. Your only answer is making fun of someone's looks, heritage, or what you seem to lack intelligence. I don't make a lot of fun of the way people look. God knows I've got a face made for radio. I got no room for that. But the only thing I can think is was it last night that I referred to George Bush as that jug-eared, beady-eyed, bug-eyed little freak? Is that it? And does that qualify as commenting on his heritage? Bug-eyed, jug-eared, pig-eyed? Is being a freak a heritage? Or is it when I mentioned the fact that the Bush family has not earned an honest dollar in 100 years? Was that it? I mean, the Bushes, yeah, never mind the people that are struggling to keep the lights on, have no phone, a broken down car, and are struggling to feed their family, and are drawing some public assistance. You want welfare? No, those are Americans. Well, at least the ones that don't have the Bush stickers on their crumbling cars. Now, you want welfare trash? The Bush family is the absolute textbook definition of welfare trash. It is. There's no getting around it. It just is what it is. And apparently I'm making fun, and I'm having a hard time pulling the old grandmother Ida thing and diagramming this sentence. Your only answer is making fun of someone's looks, heritage, or what you seem to lack, intelligence. I've been making fun. I get it. I've been making fun of how unintelligent. Well, hell, I got two options on this program. I can either laugh about how damn stupid they are, or I can cry about how damn stupid they are. And frankly, after five years of this miserable Bush nightmare, I'm all cried out. And I'm ready to laugh. Because laughter is a potent weapon. You see right here in the fact that it got under his fingernails, Stephen Patterson's. You see. Let's go to the phones. Bob is with us from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, you're head on.
Hello, buddy.
How you doing?
I don't know. You just hit me right square between the eyes.
How so?
Well, you said laughter is a potent weapon.
It is.
Yeah. Let me take you back.
Okay.
Before Negro Ponte, okay?
Yeah, John Blackbridge.
Well, I've seen it. He has, and I have. Okay?
Yeah.
And if they really, really want to see the devastation that they brought onto this nation, and, you know, no, I don't give a hoot. Oh, God, I don't. I care about you, son. You and that beautiful lady that the other guy said is your wife? No, that's Agnes, and she is my lady. Oh, God, I'd be proud to dance her into a ball.
That's the way I feel, Bob.
Yes. And, son, I'd love to have you standing on my right side, not my left side. On my right side, to cover my left side, because the left side, oh, God, I wept yesterday, Bob, like Jesus, I wept.
No American should be put in that position, Bob.
No, I wept last night. I couldn't call you and talk to you because I wept. And I'm weeping now like Jesus wept the stone as he laid down his life for this world. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
That's the Jesus, you know. That's the Yeshua, or whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, Yeshua.
Yeah, Yeshua. That Palestinian carpenter. He wept. And he didn't weep for himself either, did he?
No, it was humanity he wept for. Then that's part of what makes you weep.
It's what makes
us rage and cry, and the tears that well into our eyes, Bob. It's grief. It's horror. It's terrible anger. And I can only guess on your part that it's Bob. Yeah.
Do we really want their demise?
No, Bob, we don't.
No, you never have wanted them. All you want to do is have a damn good argument with them. Okay?
Yep.
Just sit down with them and have a cup of coffee and, you know, just argue it out and, hey, see which side, or it doesn't. There's no sides in this damn thing. Excuse my language, but there's no sides in this thing. It is either right or wrong.
That's what I keep trying to say, Bob. And when you catch yourself doing evil, you don't want to do evil, you stop doing evil.
You say evil and good, right?
Well, I mean, is what's
going, right,
Bob, is
and wrong,
right? Okay, right and wrong. If you catch yourself doing wrong and you know it's wrong, and you're not just utterly mad, you stop doing wrong. We're doing wrong in Iraq.
Of course, we did wrong in Vietnam. We did wrong in every conflict this country has ever been engaged in, Bob. We have done wrong. Okay?
Yeah. Now, what does it take to stop doing wrong, Bob?
Just stop doing it.
Okay, then it's going to take feet on the street. It's going to take what it took to stop Vietnam. Because these people...
Good for you. It's time to get feet on the street. If there's a man other than you that's listening to this network, I mean, I know Wayne. Oh, God, I know Wayne. You know?
Yeah. It's time to get feet in the street.
No.
Because these guys aren't going to stop of their own free will.
It's time to get feet everywhere. Street, up the stairs, in the hallway.
Absolutely.
Everywhere. But I was going to try and tell you about Clat.
Well, we got to go. We'll save it for another time. Okay, Bob? Take it easy.
Maybe.
Hang in there.
Bye-bye.
Quick break, then we'll come back with hour number two. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. He's criticized and condemned for being alive. Not supposed to fight back and hit.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll, supposedly they say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have.
Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Everybody, John from 4th Estate Radio here. This week's show is so packed it sprouted a third head. Yes, that's right. This week's 4th Estate Radio is a whopping 3 fat hours, and we'll never go back. To start with, we have 2 of the Greensboro 7 protesting the Bush regime this weekend during the State of the Union, and they were arrested, and you should stay tuned and listen in because you'll be shocked. Not only that, we will have Anthony Lowenstein coming in to talk to us about the impacts of Hamas being elected into power in Palestine. This guy is an expert on the field. He's an author, a blogger, and a columnist for the Sydney Morning Herald. You won't want to miss this, everybody. Get the streaming details at ForthEstateRadio.com. Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday night, for the next edition of 4th Estate Radio. In my infancy, red and yellow came to be, reaching out to me.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girls.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, it is hour number 2. I'm Bob Kincaid. Your phone calls are welcome at 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. I am told we had an interruption in the stream broadcast. I have no idea what it was. It looked like we were going strong here. Talked to Ben briefly at White Rose Society. But there was an interruption, and for that, I humbly apologize. We'll try not to have it happen again. Or we'll get some guy from Verizon T1 services and just, you know, chase him around the yard for a little bit with a baseball bat. I don't know. Okay, sort of segueing out of one thing and into another. I don't know if you've been following this. There was mention made in the promo for 4th Estate Radio, which airs tomorrow night, Saturday night at 10 p.m. 4thEstateRadio.com is the address for getting it. But this was brought to my attention by our good friends Bruce and John. Now, you know that on the night of the of Dear Leader's utterly meaningless, hollow, devoid of anything approaching sanity State of the Union address, that there were protests mounted all over the United States by an organization called World Can't Wait. And in fact, World Can't Wait is a bold and admirable organization made up largely of the younger generation, Yeah, I'm 43 years old. I still think of myself as young, but they don't. No, these are the 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 20-somethings on up who know that that it is what the title of their organization says. The world cannot wait. The Bush administration must be brought to an end. Peacefully and legally, George Bush must be convinced to stand down and step down and end his evil, corrupt, hateful reign of terror over the world. Now, you may have heard our friend Andy calling from Wales. Tony Blair is in the very deep and smelly stuff over there because he may very well face charges as the war criminal that he is. For his actions perpetrated in the course of being George Bush's little lapdog. And as such, it can't happen soon enough. The pity, though, is that we are so big and so mighty that no one can take George Bush to The Hague and let him stand in the dock and face the war criminal charges that he deserves to face. And if Agent Fred is listening, I am not, I hope you can tell from what I have said, advocating any sort of violence. I am not advocating any sort of extra legal activity to remove George Bush from office. I want it to be done legally. God knows, as a nonviolent individual, I want it to be done peacefully. But he must leave office. That is, and Cheney has to go too. Rumsfeld has to go. It has to end if we are going to have a future in this country. I joked with our friend Gene in Oregon about, you know, space science fiction, a hyperdrive that will get, you know, perhaps find us another habitable world to get away from George Bush. But that doesn't exist right now, and neither does the time machine. And frankly, time machines are terrifying right now because, you know, you could, if you had one, you could jump in it and set it for 10 years in the future. And with George Bush in office, you damned well might open the door on that thing and find yourself standing in a nuclear wasteland. Because I am convinced, I don't know about you, but I am convinced that this man has a lust to use the nuclear arsenal of the United States, and he is put us in a position where he possibly can, because we cannot mount a military incursion into Iran, and he will have his war with Iran. Now, what was it, the State of the Union address in January of 2003 when he said, "And tonight I speak to the people of Iraq. We love you. We hate your leader, but we love the people of Iraq," and proceeded only 2 months later to begin a holocaust in Iraq that has resulted in the deaths of over 100,000 civilian noncombatants there. And there it was Tuesday night. We heard it here. "I want to send a message tonight to the people of Iran. We love you. We love the people of Iran, and we want for you to have democracy and freedom." It was the same damned message he sent to the people of Iraq before he started slaughtering them. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. So, if past is prologue, as Shakespeare said, then quite possibly we are looking at the prologue to a war in Iran that our military cannot fight. We can't. If you started a draft 2 months ago, you could not come up with military strength sufficient to attack Iran. That is how depleted our military is. Our military cannot fight the war in Iraq as it stands, and it damn sure can't fight the war in Iran. So what does that tell you? That tells you that the only alternative George Bush has is nuclear. And his administration is doing everything in its power to goad Iran into some stupid act. And it's nothing new. It's nothing surprising. It's nothing we haven't seen him do before. There, if you follow the Channel 4 London story, he and Tony Blair discussed sending aircraft over Iraq to trick Saddam Hussein into attacking it and thereby creating, and this is a legal term, I suppose, the casus belli, the cause of war that they would need to launch the invasion. But it wasn't successful. It wasn't feasible. And the United Nations would not do what Bush and Blair desperately wanted done. And as a consequence, George Bush just peed on the entire world and started the war all by himself by declaring in March of 2003 that he had lost my patience with Saddam. Can you imagine that? Starting a war in the name of the people of the United States because you had lost your patience. One, losing one's patience is generally taken as a character flaw, not a cause of freaking war. But you know that. You know that. So, we heard it Tuesday night. We heard it. I want to send a message tonight to the people of Iran. We love your love for freedom, and we want you to have freedom and democracy, just like we've given freedom and democracy to the people of Iraq. You understand? Of course you do. I shouldn't ask that. So with all that as backdrop, world can't wait. Mounted protests Tuesday night all over America, and they will be protesting again tomorrow, Saturday, the 4th day of February in Washington, D.C., demanding that George Bush exit the White House. So we back up to Greensboro, North Carolina, Tuesday night. Protesters and police clashed in Greensboro. Now, bear in mind, please, World Can't Wait is not a violent organization. Violence is the furthest thing from their mind, or from their intent, or their charter, or whatever. It is the furthest thing from any part of any manifestation of their group dynamic. But as they protested on Tuesday evening, they marched, and at around 9:15, according to the authorities, the crowd of about 150 left the sidewalks, entered the street, and obstructed traffic without a parade permit, which is, after all, a violation of the law of the great state of North Carolina. And police blocked roads and redirected traffic, and the march returned to the 600 block of South Elm with loud chanting and shouting, police said. Oh, well, there was loud chanting and shouting. You know, that's dangerous, that loud chanting and shouting, because apparently in Greensboro, North Carolina, to the Greensboro, North Carolina police, the old saw about sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me. Apparently words are dangerous in Greensboro, North Carolina. And then someone, if I'm getting the story straight, and if I'm not, I hope someone will straighten me out. Someone noticed, oh, what was that 60s phrase? A rat think. A rat think. A plainclothes officer by the name of Detective E.L. Cuthbertson. E.L. Cuthbertson. Videotaping. Videotaping license plate numbers, taking pictures of faces. And he also, I believe, Detective Cuthbertson, happens to be the designated Homeland Security Officer for the Greater Greensboro, North Carolina Police Department. You understand? Now, those arrested were Kenneth Wayne Harris, he's 24 years old. George Lawrence Saba is 22. Andrew James O'Hara, 26. Zachary Harold Jones, 21. Marissa Renee Sani, 22. Eric Lee Stevens, 20. And Kyle Daniel Wisnant, 22. That is the those are the names of patriots in America. Those are patriots. those are young people who understand what is at risk. And apparently didn't take kindly to being videotaped by Detective E.R. Cuthbertson, Homeland Security designee of the Greater Greensboro Police Department. I wouldn't take too kindly to it either. Nobody likes spying in America, but spying is what the Bush administration does. What kind of a list so far do we have? They have spied on Quakers in numerous locations. They've spied on Vietnam veterans protesting this war. They have spied on grandmothers. They have spied on vegans. Vegans! Vegans, for Christ Almighty! They have spied on vegans! When did they... When did I miss the memo? Where did it... Where was the... You know, vegans pose desperate threat to security of United States. I didn't miss anything because vegans don't pose a threat. I suppose by virtue of not eating meat like good patriotic Americans, that maybe they're eating more than their fair share of cracked bulgur wheat, for God's sakes. We spy on the vegans, and now we're spying on 20-somethings whose only hope is to have an America not just fit to grow up in, but that exists at all before George Bush can start the nuclear damned Holocaust. The police said protesters were agitated and shouted obscenities as arrests were made. Any of you old 60s types out there care to guess what these obscenities were? That you're not apparently not allowed in Greensboro, North Carolina, to shout at the cops as they arrest nonviolent protesters? The man who was doing the videotaping wouldn't answer their questions about what he was doing. So the group stood in front of cars to prevent him from taping. Then he used obscenities, and the videotaper did. And he demanded that the protesters get out of his way. And he wouldn't answer when they asked him if he was a police officer. They wouldn't answer him, or he wouldn't answer them when they asked him if he was an operative of Homeland Security. And now he claims that, he was subjected to violence. The protesters did not know the man was a police officer until after they had been handcuffed. Now, welcome to Newspeak, welcome to Doublespeak, Captain Gary Hastings, commanding officer of the Criminal Investigation Division in Greensboro, North Carolina, said the crowd was agitated and that police were working to maintain protesters' right to free speech. He said, I'm sorry they weren't able to have their protest without breaking the law. Well, Captain Hastings, I'm sorry that you had to send some thug to videotape them. Pathetic. Pathetic. We live in a nation whose leadership, poor though it may be, fears its own citizens more than it does any external, arguably non-existent threat. He said the officers weren't seriously injured. And videotaping is fairly common. Well, that's a problem, isn't it? Having videotaping of protesters peacefully demonstrating, that is the problem. The commonality of taping, of surveillance, call it what it is, for God's sakes, it's spying. It is domestic spying. It is an obscenity in the ears of the founders of this nation, and it is a stench unto their nostrils. It is domestic spying, and this man says that it's fairly common. Cuthbertson is assigned to a section that monitors gangs as well as hate and fringe groups. Shall we take from that, then, that apparently they designate young people protesting in the name of a future as a hate or a fringe group? How upside down is this nation now? How utterly turned on its ear is this nation when protesting in the name of peace gets you labeled as a fringe group? Are they trying to tell us that the majority are a bunch of war-mongering, bloodthirsty jackals? We know that's the impression they tried to put out at the beginning of this war, with Glenn Beck out there leading Dixie Chick record burnings and attempts to whip up an ignorant mass into a pro-war frenzy against a nation that never raised a finger to us. We know that. Hell's a poppin' in Greensboro, North Carolina. God willing, all of this police department and all of its individual members will be sued. And it is my prayer that the judgment will be so far in excess of policy coverage that they will be forced to pay it out of their own pockets. Infringe the Constitution of the United States at your own peril. That should be the lesson from Greensboro. And it should be the lesson taught not to those young people, but by those young people to the authorities. Because the Constitution isn't dead yet. George Bush and his Republican cronies want it to be, but by God, it is not. Let's take a break. Your phone calls are welcome. At 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. Email's easy, too. Bob@headonradio.com. I'm Bob.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the quiet jungle, the lion sleeps tonight.
John from 4th Estate Radio here. This week's show is so packed it sprouted a third head. Yes, that's right. This week's 4th Estate Radio is a whopping 3 fat hours and will never go back. To start with, we have 2 of the Greensboro 7 protesting the Bush regime this weekend during the State of the Union, and they were arrested, and you should stay tuned and listen in because you'll be shocked. Not only that, we will have Anthony Lowenstein coming in to talk to us about the impacts of Hamas being elected into power in Palestine. This guy's an expert on the field. He's an author, a blogger, and a columnist for the Sydney Morning Herald. You won't want to miss this, everybody. Get the streaming details at ForTheStateRadio.com. Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday night, for the next edition of 4th Estate Radio. In my infancy, red and yellow came to me.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly they say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, do they, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Don't you know that talking about a revolution sounds peaceful? Don't you know that talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper? While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment line. Gonna rise up, get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run.
Welcome back. Did it again. 27 minutes before the hour. We're halfway through this Friday night edition of Head On. And, well, I'll tell you what. Weirdness abounds. I have been corrected on the story coming out of Iraq about the women who were dying of dehydration, that there were no actual reports of rape, merely that these women feared rape. Which is, you know, unless it was, you know, irrational fear or what? There must have been something there to be afraid of. But apparently, not everyone agrees that these women are deserving of any sympathy on our part. This is just My fingers are hot from holding the page. And I'm going to use some words here. This is like news reporting, okay, Agnes? Mm-hmm. I'm going to use some words here, and I don't want you hitting the dump button because we're not broadcasting over FCC airwaves right now. Got it? To those of you with sensitive ears, I want you to... Pardon?
They need to turn them off now.
Well, no. I'm not going to censor the listener. And I want people to hear this point of view.
Oh, please, go right ahead.
Yes, dear.
Please, go right ahead with this point of view. I can't wait. I've read the email. And after Bob's done...
Agnes is a little bit angry.
I get to get on the mic. And I'm so glad you're listening.
Okay. Yes, dear. Go ahead. Equal opportunity, my ass, is the subject line. And I read this to you for what it is worth. Those cowardly bitches don't belong in the military. If they are that afraid of being raped whenever they go to the bathroom, then obviously they are not tough enough or brave enough to be in the military. If women want to be treated equally to men, then they should start acting more like men. There are so many other dangerous things that could happen to them. They should be worried about getting killed or wounded. Instead, they are more worried about getting raped. People like that have no place in the military. A soldier is supposed to be tough, strong, and brave. These fucking bitches are neither. Why are they in the military? I don't have a clue. I know you will be very angry to get this email because you are one of those weak, spineless, pussified men who are always coming to the defense of women. Whenever somebody says something bad about women, you always have to come back to their defense, just like you're always coming to the defense of black people. What is your fucking problem anyway? Why are you always sticking up for blacks and women, yet you are constantly putting down white males, even though you are one? Well, no, one picture has gotten out, Agnes.
Oh.
That one of me and Howie on Bart Cop?
Yeah.
You must really hate yourself. Tell me, if you had a choice, would you rather be a black person or a woman, since you obviously hate white males? Don't try to deny it. Okay, I won't. I hear you all the time on your stupid show putting down white people and calling them crackers, and you accuse them of being racist? Why is it okay for you to be racist against white people and call them names? What has any black person ever... This is the beauty. What has any black person ever done for you? Why are you always taking their side? We shall leave names out of it. Now, folks, let's talk for a minute. Because, Agnes, I'm going to let you have the letter in a minute, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part of that letter is, what has any black person ever done for you? Funny thing for... call me crazy. But the funny thing to me is that I thought as of, like, 1865, black people no longer had to do anything for me! You're mad at me because I have the common sense to recognize we live in a racist nation? It is a racist nation! You're mad at me because I happen to be upset that the White House ignored an entire city full of people because of their skin color? You're upset at me because I don't like it? Now, I read your little dirty words as an act of journalism. I won't use them back at you because, well, what's that other one? Why, where is it coming? I've got to find it. One of those spineless, pussified men who are always coming to the defense of women. Honey, let's talk for a minute. I have said on my, as you call it, stupid little show, on a number of occasions, that I was born and raised in Alabama. There are a number of intensely screwed up things about growing up in the Deep South. One of them, however, that I don't deem to be screwed up is this notion that, I don't know what you're advocating, madam. Are you advocating that I should be more inclined to just smack Agnes around a little bit when we have a disagreement? You want me to, is that going to make me a better white male if I just go out and whomp the hell out of a few women every so often? Hit her again, I can put a little stank on it this time. I can't, quit reaching for the daggum email, Agnes, or I'm going to hit you, okay?
I wouldn't advise it.
Apparently I'm supposed to whomp you once in a while, that's our problem.
Well, the emboldened female there.
Now, stop.
The emboldened female there. You know, I'm glad you listen. It's a shame that you want to grow a pair. But you can never be a man. And from one female to another, get the cob out of the place where you go pee. Okay?
Jesus.
Because let me tell you something, honey.
Oh.
As far as owning one, the only thing that I own is a car. I don't want to own a human being. Evidently, you do. And as far as those bitches over there, where are you? What are you doing? You are a lazy sack of scum. And as far as any man needs to slap a woman around, evidently you've had enough of it because you're brain damaged. So bite that one, honey. Just for you, Shirley.
Agnes, no names.
Bite me.
Anyone else named Shirley who did not write this email that was not directed to? I'm astonished at this. I'm just astonished at this. I mean, I'm angry about a bunch of stuff. But this, what I'm looking at here, you know how we talk from time to time about the circular firing squad? This is that. Why are you always coming to the defense of women? Whenever you say something bad about women, you always whenever somebody says something bad about women, you always have to come to their defense. Look, I believe in equality. No one's better, no one's worse. But, darling, I come down on white males because white males are the source of most of the problems in this country. Black males, black women, white women, red women, yellow men, red men, did not start a needless, stupid war in Iraq that has cost us 2,250 lives so far. And that's just the Americans. Now, granted, a black man by the name of Colin Powell did go to the United Nations and lie his sorry ass off to get this war started. And I have blistered him till a fly wouldn't light on him if it was done physically. You'll not catch me defending kinda sleazy Rice either, and I don't take much stock in Uncle Clarence Thomas. There, I said it, okay? You happy? That was a little bit racist, wasn't it? Is that what you want? Is this country not hateful enough for you, sister?
No, Bob, it's not. And by the way, honey, you need to return those white percale sheets because they don't make good hoods. You don't have enough starch for it.
Circular firing squad.
And she's
weird email night on head on with Bob Kincaid.
Well, are you supposed to be a progressive female? Is that what you're supposed to be? I'm just curious. Because what I'm seeing there, man, you know, I'm sorry for what I said. The best thing I can say is go get counseling. Maybe some meds. It'll take the edge off. But whatever you do, I wouldn't go
This business of you must really hate yourself. You know, I get that from the wingnuts. I get that from right-wingers.
We're you just must, sharing you with you. You why must, don't, why you, don't you call in and talk to a woman? If you're a woman, call in. And if you're a man, oh, please do call. I'd love
Agnes,
to talk to
please.
You.
Please. This business about self-hatred. The whole idea is to stop the hating. Hating people because of how they have sex. Hating people because of the color of their skin. Hating people because of what kind of plumbing they've got inside. Hating people because of the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they dress. The way we have an abundance of that. We are up to our necks in that. I'm trying to stop some of it. And I gotta put up with this kind of crap. Maybe Agnes is right. Be charitable, Bob. Be charitable. Maybe they're just off their meds. That's kind of... No, the lack of medication is not a sufficient... Sufficient justification for hate. I got taken down the road and criticized the other night over suggesting that if you work at the National Security Administration and you participate in this domestic spying crap, that you are one of those banality of evil types that Hannah Arendt mentioned in discussing the Nazis. And I maintain that it is true. Black, white, male, female, indifferent. The people in this government that are going along with George Bush's policies, and they do it because they say, well, I have to feed my family. Really? Do you have to feed your family blood? There is a reckoning coming in this country. I would rather not see that reckoning come. Those of us liberals, us progressives, we are trying to stave off that reckoning by returning our country to a level of sanity. Why am I angry at white males? How about genocide? How about genocide of Native Americans? Is that good enough? I'm trying to be an atypical white male. I'm trying to be a progressive. I'm trying to be a liberal. I'm trying not to get sucked down the toilet that is right-wing hate. I really battle hate, and it is a job. And then I get this. This is supposedly from the side that I'm fighting for, that we're arguing for. What has a black person ever done for me? My God, I grew up in the town where W.C. Handy was born, the father of the blues. Jazz, blues, listening to music that never would have happened among the stale, sterile, dry, dead, scaling away culture of white bread America. What has a black person ever done for me? Well, it is February. It's Black History Month. Shall we go into it? God, that makes me angry. It makes me incredibly angry. But more than that, it makes me sad. It makes me see, oh God, how far we have yet to go. How far indeed. I feel like a hot wire has been pushed between my eyes. What has a black person ever done for me? As if someone has to do something for me to be accorded the same regard as any other human being. Oh, I know. What have you done for me lately? It's not what have you done, it's what have you done for me lately. I'm trying to break out of that. If, as some religious tenets hold, every life is another chance to get a little closer to getting it right, I'm trying to get it right. And I'm guessing that urging the slaughter and degradation of others is not part of getting it right now, is it? Do you think it is? What has a black person or a woman ever done for me? One of them gave me birth! Life! One of them gave me four beautiful children. Scads of dark-skinned Americans taught me what it means to demand dignity in the face of indignity. Scarce few white people ever taught me that. I would never have heard of Gandhi had it not been... Oh, another brown person. Damn! I would never have heard of Gandhi had it not been for the work of Martin Luther King. You know, this is same crap, different day. I mean, where'd that thing go? Fred Phelps is going to protest the funeral of Coretta Scott King. Is this any different? Oh, what'd I do with it? A white racist is going to protest the funeral of Coretta Scott King. I'm amazed by that. And I had that story last night from the Washington Post. The story that recounts the psychological studies that have proven, it sort of verifies 50 years worth of known fact that Republicans are racists. Now, it didn't say it was, but of course, it did not say it was exclusive. Because I have here in my hand living proof that there is no exclusivity in race hate or gender hate. I mean, I'm assuming that this individual is a woman, and this woman asks me why I hate myself and is railing against women. I'm astonished. I mean, I'm frankly astonished. This is as weird as it's gotten. It just blows me away. Oh, let's see. I got something else in here to move on to. Oh, yeah, here we go. God almighty. Just makes my eyes want to cross. Let's move on to Colorado. We've got listeners in Colorado. Friends. Headline, Faust opera video stirs angry parents. We're talking about a town of, something like 2,400 people, about 25 miles east of Denver. Bennett, Colorado. Some parents in this prairie town are angry with an elementary school music teacher for showing pupils a video about the opera Faust, whose title character sells his soul to the devil in exchange for being young again. Guess we won't be dredging up that whole picture of Dorian Gray story, will we? Robbie Warner said after two of her children saw the video. Okay, Shirley, honey, is this going to make you happy? Here's a really stupid woman! But she's not stupid because she's a woman. She's stupid because she's a right-wing fundy.
Any adult with common sense would not think that video was appropriate for a young person to see.
I'm not sure it's appropriate for a high school student. No, we don't want any, we don't want anybody learning about this whole idea that one sells out one's morals or one's upbringing or sells out one's soul, to use the phrase, in return for material gain. We don't want anybody learning that. Now, you know, I mean, Goethe's Faust, this opera Faust, Christopher Marlowe wrote Dr. Faustus, and it's all from the same story. It's a doctor who makes contact with Mephistopheles, the devil, and trades his soul for eternal youth, or youth again. This was part... I feel so sorry for this poor teacher. Her name is Tressa Wagoner. She showed some students at the school at Bennett Elementary portions of a 33-year-old series titled Who's Afraid of Opera? A few weeks ago. Hell, there's all kinds of opera in it. It's trying to expose them to an art form. Because God knows when they go home to their little fundy parents, they probably don't get anything approaching art. All they get to do is sit around while Mommy and Daddy watch Desperate Housewives or some, you know, the piece of trash on the Fox Network. Another parent, Casey Goodwin, said, I think it glorifies Satan in some way. The video features the soprano Dame Joan Sutherland and three puppet friends discussing Gounod's Faust. Wagoner thought it would be a good introduction to opera.
We don't want them learning no opry. The only opry they need to hear is coming from WSM Nashville, Tennessee.
That's unfair of me because brilliant work was done there. The fundies probably wouldn't let their children hear that either. Wagoner's going to be moving on. I was definitely not sensitive to the conservative nature of the community. Declaring an opera to be... What was it here?
I think it glorifies Satan in some way.
That's not conservative, ma'am. That's dirt stupid. That's dirt stupid. I definitely was not sensitive to the conservative nature of the community, and I've learned that. However, from what has been said about me, that I'm a Satan worshiper, my character, I can't believe all of this. My intention was just to expose the kids to opera. Wagner, who is in her first year teaching vocal music in Bennett, said she doesn't expect to stay in town. I know I'm not accepted here, that I'm not welcome here by the parents. It's a very uncomfortable position. And meanwhile, we're laughing at the silly Muslims who are so upset over a cartoon. Here's some fundy American parents on the eastern, on the plains east of Denver, who are upset about a puppet show.
I'll do it after the show.
A puppet show.
Okay, bye,
wow. Well, that's the end of our second hour. Your calls are always welcome. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. I apologize. I apologize for the dirty language, even in a journalistic setting. I do. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Of rising all the eyebrows of every lifestyle mall. She went with all the tossers who kick about a ball. They say their clubs are crazies, and she has kissed them all. At the Arndale Centre, she's up against the wall. I can't name names, cause that's not cricket. I can't name names. Story in the finish. I saw them at the
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Back.
I'm Bob. You heard the phone number. Ostensibly, you'll do with your phone what you choose to do. I read the story. Dr. Faust? Faust? Goethe's Faust? Opera is satanic? This poor teacher has in Colorado has been called by the knuckle-dragging mouth breathers there a Satanist? She wasn't encouraging the children to sell their souls to Satan. No, hell no.
Head on, name and topic.
But instead, they've run her out of town. Wonder if they like alleged she was gay too, or something like that. Just blow, you know, and yet at the same time, I guarantee you. If you turn on right-wing TV or right-wing radio, and I'm not encouraging you to because that crap kills brain cells, you're going to see the business about the Muslim cartoons. I went and had a look at them. If you haven't seen them, go and you can see them at wikipedia.org. And I have very little sympathy for this notion that there is some religion somewhere on planet Earth that no one may criticize. I don't buy that in the least. But somewhere on right-wing TV or right-wing radio, you'll hear, you know, them goofy Muslims. And, you know, being willing to kill over a caricature is pretty damn stupid in my book. But calling an elementary school teacher satanic for introducing children to opera... Is there a difference? Over and over and over again, I say, we are caught in a war between tastes great and less filling, and we're the ones who are going to die for it. A bunch of religious, fanatical weirdos who don't care who they kill or how they kill them, as long as they can achieve their fantasy-based religious ends. A pox on all of them. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Ben is with us, calling from Illinois. Hey, Ben, you're head on.
Hey there, Bob.
How's it going?
Just fine. Do I sound okay?
You sound fine.
Yeah, I'm using my new IP phone here.
Oh, excellent.
You know, first of all, you know, I think that these Christians need to understand one very important thing. The pagan religions are the fastest growing religion in the United States.
God, I hope
so. Not the Christian. And if they continue to treat people the way they have, you know, a lot of pagans don't have the kind of instruction to be peaceful people that Christians have. And they may just find a lot of this fed back to them.
Well, what's that T-shirt say? So many fundamentalists, so few lions?
Exactly. Oh, I have a T-shirt just like that.
How did I know?
Actually, it says, so many concerned women, so few lions.
Oh, rub it in, Ben. Rub it in.
But Concerned Women for America and I have gone around personally.
Yes.
And, in fact, I got mentioned on Dr. Laura's show once.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was over a leather event here in Chicago that they tried to shut down, in which I tried to prevent them from shutting down.
Oh, you mean you fought back?
We fought back, and we won.
Isn't that fun?
Well, you know, they really picked on the wrong crowd when they started picking on the folks who are into whips and chains.
Yeah, but nobody ever accused them of being terribly intelligent either, Ben.
No. Tita understands. Tita won't pick on a biker in leather. They don't pick on an old woman in a fur coat.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But no, the thing about the videotaping, you know, back when I was going to the University of Chicago, I was attending the Unitarian Church down there in Hyde Park. And, you know, just prior to me getting there, they had disbanded the Chicago Police Red Squad. But prior to its being disbanded, every single service at that church there were always two guys sitting in the back row with close cropped hair, cheap suits, and sensible shoes.
Well, that's okay? Yeah, that's the uniform.
Uh-huh. And, you know, the pastor knew who they were and used to call out to them, hey, you two Red Squad members in back, come on up front and actually hear things, why don't you? You know, you don't have to hide back there. We know who you are. You know?
Yeah, sure. There was a story. I mean, this is really going to come to a head, Ben. I've got one down here somewhere in the stack. There it is. Yeah. The cops are now spying on the cops. Did you catch that one?
No, I missed that one.
This is out of the New York Times. It's out of today's New York Times. It turns the demonstrators arrived angry, departed furious. The police had herded them into pens, stopped them from handing out flyers, threatened them with arrest for standing on public sidewalks, made notes on which politicians they cheered and which ones they razzed. They were cops.
Oh, my.
This was cops spying on cops. We've got, I mean, the list is just becoming amazing, Ben. We've got vegans. We've got the World Can't Wait protesters. We've got Quakers. We've literally got pissed off grannies. And now the cops are spying on the cops. I encourage everyone to listen to Mike Malloy when this show ends and his begins, because I'm getting so much out of his readings, and I you probably are too, Ben. His readings from 1984.
Yes, I'm extracting them all. Actually, I'm a couple of days behind now. I'm extracting them all and putting them on my servers, and eventually I'm going to make a talking book out of it.
I think that will be wonderful, because for people who don't have time maybe to pick up the original, Mike's doing a wonderful job with it. And, you know, the only thing you can say about George Orwell was that his math was on a par with mine. His math was not so much.
Well, you know, he said himself he didn't mean it to be a particular date. He just meant it to mean the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and back in the 50s, 1984, you know, we'd be on the Mars by then, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, that was the far distant future when we'd have jetpacks and flying cars.
Exactly. So
the very interesting. I haven't found a news story about it yet, but I'm looking for it. It was on the radio as I was going out getting dinner just now. A class action suit settled by women who had complained that they were inappropriately searched by TSA in the International Terminal of O'Hare. And the government settled the suit and has agreed to pay each member of the class $19,500.
Holy cow!
So they admitted, essentially, that they were inappropriately searching people in the International Terminal of O'Hare Airport.
Any idea what inappropriately searching means?
Well, they mentioned internal searches, X-rays, and pat down, and strip searches.
Wow.
Okay.
That's just disgusting. Well, I mean, I remember when all the, you know, right after 9/11, Ben, I remember when grannies found out that they couldn't wear an underwire bra if they were going to fly on an aircraft.
Uh-huh.
Because it set off the bomb detectors, the little wires in there for some reason or another.
Well, I know a guy who used to, he's actually the fellow who got my job when I left Fermilab years ago. He's now living out in San Francisco, which is probably the right place for him. But he has got so many bits of metal pierced through his nether region that there is absolutely no way he can go through a metal detector. And they pretty much have to strip search him. And he's just a kinky enough SOB that really gets him off.
Yeah, he wouldn't have signed on to the class action.
But, you know,
He would have paid them.
I can just imagine how humiliating the TSA workers find it when they realize that the guy is really enjoying the strip search.
maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's a real public service that the piercing community could do for the rest of us.
Yep, just buy occasionally.
Yeah,
and don't take them out first.
Yeah, and you can just hear them when they get, you know, the TSA official. Mavis, you won't believe what I saw today. I didn't know you could pierce that.
Well, you know, there's another gadget they've got now, which is basically a reflection X-ray. That you, basically they can look through your clothes.
Well, I've seen that.
You know, it's not like you know, an X-ray, you know, through and through X-ray where they see through your skin, you know, and into your bones and so forth. No, what they really see is they see you under the clothes. And, you know, they look at little children.
And some of them enjoy it.
And some of them enjoy it. You know, every time you create a police state, you attract to that police state those people who really like having that kind of power over others.
Oh, sure. I mean, it goes back to the conversation we had with Andy at the beginning of the program. There, the reason that we pay, $12,000, $15,000 a year to high school graduates and give them guns and badges and hot cars, is that they will take that low pay in exchange for having that power and that authority. And I personally think there's a pathology involved with that that's really disturbing.
You know, and I really think we ought to, like, treat them like Barney Fife and, you know, decide when to give them the bullet.
I think we're getting to that point, Ben, because, spying on vegans? Vegans, for God's sakes.
Well, vegans are dangerous people because they threaten the multi-billion dollar meat industry.
Well, there's some truth in that. I was thinking about them running around with sharpened carrots, but, you know, I missed the whole animal hybrid thing the other night, too.
You know, just like we hybrid drivers are dangerous because we threaten the oil industry.
It's amazing how dangerous you can be and never even mean to.
The people with solar power panels on their roof.
Yeah, they're dangerous.
That's an act of rebellion.
Yeah, they're dangerous to Don Blankenship. Well,
I'd like to be dangerous to Don Blankenship myself.
Yeah, I know. I'd like to have some solar panels and never mind.
Yeah.
Death rays.
Wayne, you, me, and Wayne should, like, have dinner with Don Blankenship some night.
I don't think we could get Don to take us up on the invite.
Well.
Oh, I hear the master race in the background.
Yeah, that's the dachshund, the master race.
You don't
want to. He heard me say Don Blankenship.
Oh, is that the kill phrase for the dachshund?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I tell you what, you've started something here, Ben. You're on a voice over IP phone?
I am.
That's great quality.
It's
so
nice.
Is it very complicated to get?
No. I just ordered this little USB handset out of the catalog, plugged it in, and Macintosh OS 10 knew right what to do with it. I installed Skype, which is free, and set the settings so that it was pointing to this little adapter, and it goes.
Wow!
About 10 minutes.
I think maybe we're looking at part of the future of talk radio.
I think you're right because you know the telephone company monopolies take too much money away.
Well, and you know that they're having some success, the Skypes and Vonages and whatever of the world, by virtue of the hissy that the telecommunications companies are having over them.
Exactly right.
I forget the exact quote, but the guy who is now head of AT&T, the CEO there, Whitaker, I think is his name, made some smart-alecky comment about, and those people think they're going to use our pipes for free? Well, yeah.
Yes, we do.
But they are
not for free. We're paying for them.
Right. And the other side of it is that's one of the things that they are lobbying Congress for all they're worth. You know, they want to create a ghettoized internet. And we need to be vigilant about that, too. The assaults on our freedoms, the internet has become an essential part of freedom in this country. I think you realize that more than possibly anybody else. And there is a concerted effort to take that away.
Well, you know, back before the phone companies did all of this, people did the internet on their own. You know, I mean, we didn't have big pipes. We had you know, modems from place to place.
Right.
And the whole net actually functioned that way. And if these people try to ghettoize the internet, try to keep us from using it, you know, it's not that hard to go and set up a UUCP network. It's not that hard to set up a, you know, FLIP or PPP network where we can still, using our telephone, using audio modem, we all still have all, you know, even though we don't use them anymore. You know, we can get essential messages across. So we'll use their internet for looking at the Coca-Cola ad and the Victoria's Secret stuff. And when we want to message each other, we'll just use our private internet.
That would be kind of cool. On the other hand, someone sent me an article the other day, Ben, about, I didn't realize this. I've got supposed broadband here in addition to our T1. That broadband, it turns out people in, like, the rest of the world, what passes for broadband to us, they laugh about.
Oh yeah, we've got the absolute worst. But there's some reason for that, and that is, remember, America's got a lot of flyover country in it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the world is a lot more heavily populated, more densely populated. You know, you're not as far from a town in most parts of the world as many Americans are here. And, you know, a lot of broadband solutions require you to be no further than 15,000 yards from the telephone company office.
Yeah, I've got to be. I think the rules I was told were like a mile as the crow flies from the CO. But the problem here is that with that better broadband in the other countries, the response we should have in this country is to make is to solve those problems you just described. On the other hand, but of course we don't. And meanwhile, all the new applications and all the new innovations are going to get economically left in the dirt.
Oh well, we're being economically left in the dirt in a lot of ways.
Sure,
because we're the only country on the earth that actually prohibits certain sorts of research.
Human animal hybrids. You know,
yeah, stem cells. Christopher Reeve would be walking today.
Christopher Reeve would be alive today.
Yeah, but he'd be walking. The man would be walking if we had put into stem cell research the kind of money that we put, you know, in a year, if we put into stem cell research the kind of money we put into Iraq in a week.
Jesus, that's heartbreaking. That's just heartbreaking, I mean, Ben.
We could feed every child in America a 2,000 calorie balanced diet on what we put into Iraq in a week.
Dr. King was right. We are miserly with programs for the poor and profligate with programs for death.
We certainly are.
God, it's
hard. We certainly are. And what's worse is our programs for, gee whiz, I mean, you know, I studied military history a lot of my life. I've done a lot of war gaming. I've done, you know, a lot of reading on small unit tactics and large strategic unit tactics. And I'm sure I could have made a better deal out of Iraq militarily if we just had gone in there and had pacified and disarmed people house to house, block to block, moved in large groups. Never in small units.
That's what I've said all along, Ben. A gang of inveterate risk players could have done a better job with Iraq.
Yes. But, I mean, you know, even if you're going to be a thug efficiently. Do it right. We screwed up being thugs.
God, that's pitiful.
You know, and we put all this money into. You know, we're now deploying laser systems.
Oh, I saw that.
We're now deploying these phaser guns that shoot an electric charge, you know, and stun people. You know, we've got this thing that's called the Sheriff, which is a microwave weapon that creates intense pain on exposed skin.
And kills people with pacemakers.
Yeah, and which you can defeat by covering yourself in tinfoil.
We're entering the age of the true tinfoil helmet.
We sure are.
Hey, Ben, you have yourself a great night and a wonderful weekend. You sound great.
Take care.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, let's Let's take a break real quick. When we come back, more of your phone calls if you wish, or we'll just take it downhill. Oh, God, not the weekend. Yep, the weekend. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is Head On.
mean, sometimes you got to have a break. And, well, you know, we stop and we dance a little bit, too. Such an 80s freak I am. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. And, well, like I said, about 25 minutes to get your final licks in if you want to. Don't bottle that stuff up. The weekend's coming. A couple of quick emails. One from our dear friend Sue in Wales. Shirley. Yeah, see, you're playing with me there, Sue. Shirley is a guy stuck with a girly name. That's the only explanation for such hate-filled outpourings. That's not what the email address, and I'm not going to give it out, the email address indicated. Sue says, I have an evolutionary theory that nice people in the world have bonobo ancestry, and all the right wing nuts come from chimpanzees. What say you, Bob and Agnes? What say you? Oh, Sue, you're channeling Bill O'Reilly for us, aren't you? I say you're right. And from our pal Jim in New York, my two major concerns about what the Bushies are up to. One, install electronic voting machines that they control. No paper trail. I'm fighting this one big time. Two, take over the internet with the telecoms and cable giants. Shut our protests down. It's always wise to remember that paranoia is the irrational fear that someone is out to get you. Emphasis on the word irrational. There's nothing irrational in that. All you have to do is see... And you know, people on the right are beginning to be concerned about this, too, because, you know, the freepers, they love their internets, too. Not that I want to reach across the aisle to the freepers, No, I don't think so. At any rate, thanks for the emails. Bob@headonradio.com. The ones I don't read on the air, I always try to at least respond to by writing back, because we truly do... value your input and your communication. Let's go to the phones. Ed has been waiting a long time, and he's even been hung up on a couple of times. Hey, Ed.
Hey.
Head on.
Sorry. How you doing, Bob?
Doing good. Sorry about the hang-ups, brother.
That's all right. I was listening until the idiot called in about, you know, I thought we were supposed to, that real men defended women and their rights and tried to protect them, or even as a human being. But that kind of person, really, you know, my deepest thoughts are somebody's trying to do exactly what they did, is get you mad. And it really don't deserve a response. But if they're really like that, they need to check in. But
check in with us, or check into the hospital.
You know what I'm talking, mental.
Yeah,
mental ward. But you know, the only way I'd respond strongly to that is be looking at them and then say something like that. And I'd love to talk to them face to face. But I was going to go a step further. Y'all touched on cops, police state.
Yeah.
Anytime that you got a Republican. It's just like these laws, verbal abuse and physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And that don't mean that I like to fight. But you know who got those through?
Who's that?
Is a cowardly bunch of jerks in companies that thought that they could just push a worker around anywhere.
That's where it starts, isn't it?
Yep, and they thought they could get away with it. But the cops nowadays are nothing but a bunch of, it's like you described them, they're young and full of vinegar, and I see them on Foodland parking lot right here in Oak Hill. They either got their mind on some woman's rear end, or they're, Dream and I were coming back from Richmond, and they hit the gates or the booths over at Beckley.
Uh-huh.
One of them come through there doing about 70 miles an hour and didn't stop. And so we followed him on down to where the first exit comes to there.
Right.
He sat there for about a full minute and then went up and just parked in the that first mall or plaza or whatever they call it there. And that's what we got now in the cops. And the evidence, just look at, I mean, you're almost, you know, if they told you to lay down, get up, stand up, you're still liable to get shot. And the proof is in the news here in the last week, how they did that one guy when he was telling them he's one of them. you know, the service guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have no use. I had a cop call here, and he was probably soliciting for something good. But I guess because of me trying to get some of them out here to patrol this road just once in a while, I'm pretty disgusted. I ain't got nothing for them. I mean, absolutely, it's a negative instead of a plus for them. And I know we need some type of social control, but it certainly ain't the kind of people we got on the police forces now. And that's not 100%.
No, it's not. I know a lot of good cops.
I do too. I don't know them. I don't know any good ones really. I know them, but they're the ones in Fayetteville, Mount Hope, and Oak Hill, and they're nothing but a bunch of parasites. And that's what George Bush type president creates, a hardship on the cities to where it dumps back on the police to make up the budget. And it's just like Summersville. They got $500,000.
Yeah, well, for folks that don't know that aren't from around here, Ed, Summersville, West Virginia is what? Is it the number one speed trap in the United
States? That's what the truckers say.
Number one speed trap in the United States.
Yeah, that. And well, you look at it from Summersville to Beckley, and they're making them boys parasites. You know, the cities are. They need jobs. But some of them that, it's just like out here where I live above the golf course. I've been in up there three times, all the way back to when Payne was in charge up there,
mm-hmm.
and tried to get somebody out here to slow down these drunks coming out of the golf course at night, and you can't do it. Do you know why?
Because some of the drunks are...
cops. That's right. They get down here and get them a few six-packs, and plus, you know, they play down here, so they're not going to upset what goes on. And I'm telling you, it would be hard for me to pull one of them out of a ditch. I have no use for cops anymore from what I've seen out of them. And
well, you've been down a road where they were on the wrong side of the issues. I mean, you poured your heart and your soul into a whole lot of labor work, and very seldom did you find yourself the beneficiary of what the law enforcement was sworn to do, that is to uphold the law. Instead of that, they upheld the company.
Yeah, they're nothing but company thugs. They're just another name for Pinkertons. But I had a run-in with them out on a picket line when I was president of a union. And we were striking. It was just a one- or two-day deal when the gas strike come about. But anyway, I had one of them had a bunch of gold stripes on his arm, and he danced around and said, "Look at me, I'm not afraid." Said, "The little kids are on the school bus. They're not afraid." I told him, "Buddy, you're dressed to do the job. That's what you get paid for. I'm not." And he said, "I want you to get these damn cars moved out of here." And I got right up under his nose, and I told him, I said, "That's your job. You get them damn cars out of here if they're breaking the law." And the guy with him put his hand on his arm and said, "He's right." And he made them. But, you know, they think they're God Almighty when you got George Bush and the Patriot Act and all that crap backing them. But they don't know it. What they're doing is turning the whole public against them, and especially when they're some of the ones that's making passes at anybody to come to. And what they want to do. And like I said, that's not 100%. I know two good, pretty good cops. And they stay their place. They're family people. But most of them, especially these, like you said, 22, 23-year-old guys, they get that pistol on their side. In fact, I was playing golf down here. I don't even mind mentioning his name. He's out of the detachment up here right in Oak Hill. Guy had his land posted down here on the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And he went over the fence, and I said, "Buddy, you're liable to get shot." I didn't know he was a trooper then. I said, "You're liable to get shot like that." He said, "Hell, everybody's got a gun." And I thought, "What the hell's wrong with this guy? Are we playing with a nut or something?" We got with him on number 7 down there, and, you know, he could be listening. He might very well remember who I'm talking about. But I don't give a crap, whether he's a cop or nothing. I'm not going to be oppressed by people like that. If they do, they're just going to have to do what they have to do.
Well, I think that day is coming. And the funny, but the funny thing is, you know, by the same token, Ed, the cops and the firemen that ran into the World Trade Center on 9/11, those were union people.
Yeah.
And here it is. I mean, this story out of today's New York Times, a lawsuit filed by a man by the name of Liddy, Walter Liddy, is suing over the fact that the police, his own brothers, police spied on them when they were protesting the pace of city contract talks.
Yeah. Well, they deserve each other. That's all I can say. You know, that shows you how dirty they are and what they do to get ahead, and not realizing that one day they may need the public's help. And I know one thing. I won't be there for them until I see a drastic change in them. When I can't even get one of them out here to stop the drunks leaving out of here after they go down and play in the evening, and, you know, I play golf pretty good, you know, pretty often myself. But when I leave the golf course, I leave it like a sane person.
Well, you won't leave the green with a ball mark in it, Ed. I mean, I've played golf with you.
Yeah, but I don't have any respect. If they throw up their hand at me, I'd turn my head, which they don't. But if they did, I'd turn my head. I just don't have a bit of use for them.
Well, I can't blame you, Ed. I mean, when you've the list, it's growing and it's growing and it's growing. And it's no, you know, they've got us talking, Ed, about this business of domestic spying. Bush is, you know, listening in on phone calls. They've got us talking about that as if it were something different and separate from this business of spying on groups across this country. Quakers, peace groups, vegans.
Yeah.
Literally grandmothers protesting the war.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, I told this one that called in here wanting a donation for something that he... I'll tell you most of it anyway, but I said, you know what? We're paying you to go down from the taxpayers' dollars, like down at Cannleton, and be a thug for Cannleton Coal Company. And he said, Ed, all I'm asking for is a small donation of $10. I said, bud, you probably didn't understand me. I ain't got a damn thing for you. And I hung up. As far as I know, that was the end of it. I don't know. And, you know, he said he's a state trooper. Now, maybe one of them guys. That,
oh, no, they hire marketing companies.
That, but he tried to imply, without making it perfectly clear, that he was that he belonged to state troopers. But they're going to do whatever they can to get what they're after. And I really believe my anger overflowed more than me listening. You know, I didn't listen to really what his cause was. But I figure he had a good cause. But if they represented those type of people, I ain't got nothing for it. If the crippled kids or whatever want money, let them set up somebody that has got a little bit of dignity and honor about them. But I don't want them calling my house for nothing.
Well, I can understand that.
But, you know, mine has been such a bad experience with them. You know, through the union, I've had nothing but negative dealings with them because, you know, the city cops in O'Keele even carried the people in the office up there their hamburgers and hot dogs. And you know who brought us something? A fellow named Tom Bell used to be the sheriff. He brought us, brought the picket line food. And that's the only cop that ever went out of the way. Now, I've had them to be friendly with me, but you wonder what, you know, I'm suspicious, I guess. I wonder what...
Well, we've come to a place in this country where if you're not suspicious, you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
And you have to pay attention. I mean, I've been to... Well, you know how I feel about mountaintop removal.
Mm-hmm.
I've been, and there are many people who listen to this program who are equally and far more passionate about it than even I am. I mean, is there anyone who thinks that those gatherings haven't been spied on?
You know something, I'm convinced, and you know, it's like that program I watched on these different, like the Trilateral Commission, these other folks we were talking about, There's not a thing. You know, these satellites are not up there to monitor the submarines.
No, and they're not. And they're not up there to bring you your daily dosage of cable television either.
That's right. But I wanted to tell you, I wouldn't let. If that person called you like that...
Well, I'm kind of... it wasn't a call. It was an email, but still, I'm kind of ashamed of myself. I shouldn't have let myself get off...
I'm not...
No, I know you're not, but I shouldn't have let myself get off the chain that way.
Yeah, but a person like that, I mean, they're living proof that their mother bred with dogs. And
woo,
Ed! I hope that they're listening. I hope they're listening.
Sure.
They're not much better than animals. Especially not to protect a woman and to put them in what they were basically saying that I got out of it was if they put yourself in a man's position, they should be able to hold up that position. Well, I don't, you know, there's a whole lot to be said about that, but I'm not going to say any more on that. That kind of person.
Agnes is sitting here going, right on, Ed, right on, Ed.
Yeah, well, they need to, if they ever get Mars established, they need to let them people go there first.
Sounds good. Yeah. Ed, you have yourself a great weekend.
All right, you too.
Take it easy.
All righty.
Bye now. That's our buddy Ed. Salt of the earth. And a darn fine golfer. Ed has forgotten more golf than most of us will ever learn. And a joy to be on the course with. This story out of the New York Times. Go read it. It's a headline, surveillance prompts a suit, police versus police. Through their union, a number of police officers are suing the city, charging that the police procedures at their demonstrations, many of them routinely used at war protests, anti-poverty marches, and mass bike rides, were so heavy-handed and intimidating that their First Amendment rights were violated. Sucks to be you, doesn't it? I wonder, I mean, I'm sympathetic to Walter Liddy, Officer Liddy's complaints. He says that a special videotape unit videotaped their faces, evoking for one demonstrator the unblinking eye of George Orwell's 1984. That's Big Brother watching you, Walter Liddy said in a deposition. Wonder how Walter Liddy felt when they were spying on, it, honest to God, in New York City, and we got some listeners, maybe they can flesh it out for, bicycling groups, cyclists, got spied on. This is the direct and proximate outgrowth of a coward nation. This is not the boldness and the bravery of people who said we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. This is a bunch of people who say somebody else can pledge their lives, somebody else can pledge their fortunes, somebody else can pledge their sacred honor. We got videotaping to do. So, you know, while on the one hand I'm very labor-oriented and, you know, this is a police union and blah, blah, blah. Tell you what, New York City Police Union, what do you say that you maybe go into your next contract talks and say we will not be compelled to spy on our fellow Americans? Or is that too much to ask? I don't know. And, well, we've only got a few minutes left. For God's sakes, let's go out with a giggle. Okay, I got two to choose. Okay, yeah, we're going out with the giggle. You know, we take a lot of hell here in West Virginia.
Hillbillies. Shoeless ridge runners.
But, you know, we're more normal than some states, really. And this is one of those stories that just makes me glad that I'm a West Virginian. Because it didn't happen here. Dateline, Atlanta. A 15-year-old boy whose 37-year-old wife is due to give birth to the couple's baby this month has run away from a group home, and his wife, through her lawyer, says she has no idea where he is. Lisa Clark, who is due to give birth February 20th, was surprised and concerned by her young husband's disappearance last Friday, her attorney, Daniel Sammons, said. She has no knowledge of his whereabouts. Is it just me or... am I to understand that Georgia permits the marriage of 15-year-olds?
It was Kentucky.
I thought we were screwed up here at 16. Shall we all sing the state song? Oh, the hills, the beautiful hills. How I love the West Virginia hills. Welcome to Red State America, where 15 years... This is... Oh, my God, I can see it now on Fox. The runaway groom! The boy's grandmother, however, believes the wife was involved. I think she's got him hidden out someplace, Mrs. Hales told the Associated Press on Thursday. Yes, dear?
Could you just imagine someone wanting to marry one of our children at 15? They would run for the hills. It wouldn't be a marriage of convenience.
Oh, you know this is going to make Rita Cosby show. Bullwinkle's baby sister.
Bullwinkle's baby sister.
The runaway groom. And I don't know, have they talked about this on Hannity yet? I mean, this is clearly evidence of the moral decline of the American people. Blah, blah, blah. God almighty. That was his goal, to get with her, Hale said. They were just obsessed with having him there when the baby is born. Uncle Daddy! Dear God. Salmon said he did not know when the wife last had contact with the boy, who was removed from his grandmother's custody in late November. Oh, this just... somehow, this is not a Georgia case of the Waltons. Producers of the Tyra Banks show, on which Clark was to appear Friday in an interview taped earlier, and said Clark denied in a telephone interview Thursday that she had anything to do with his disappearance. I have not seen him or spoken to him at all. They married in November, this May and December romance. After being charged with child molestation for her relationship with the boy, her teenage son's best friend, Clark, was released on bond on condition that she not have contact with him. Clark has said she still hopes to make a life with the boy and their baby. Jordu got a pretty mouth. Squeal like a pig. It didn't happen in West Virginia. Chalk one up for us. That's it. Gonna be a long weekend. But Monday rolls around, and boy, will I be happy when it does. Until then, y'all have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We're gonna try. Watch the Super Bowl. Go Steelers. Go Jerome Bettis. Poor Joey Porter's can't wait to get it. What's his name? Matt Hasselblad or whatever it is. I have a sad feeling that poor boy's going to go squish. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor. Our good friend, Randy Kerbway, is the engineer who made everything hook up the right way and turned this into a studio. And our dear, dear friend, Ben Birch, is, he's the person who maintains our stream at whiterosesociety.org. He also archives this and many, many, many other fabulous liberal talk programs. He's the hardest working man in liberal talk. He's also got a funding drive underway right now, so help Ben out any way that you can. Because he never sends you a bill, and you get to listen to as much as you want to. The show, of course, tonight was brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream, and always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.